Hello, humans. Hello, humans. I'm now recording. Hello, humans. Okay, so it's that time of the year again. It's cold. No heat out here in the office. I'll turn it on at some point, but I've got to get the place cleaned up before I start getting it into a more human habitable kind of thing. I mean, it's basically a warehouse at the moment. Anyway, so today we'll talk about grappling and as a aspect of martial arts, because everybody's going to be going through it. Today's the 11th of October. It's the start of the Dachenko trial. Durham is going to start unraveling all of the Russia gate stuff legally, poking and prodding and bringing out evidence and stuff. So so there's one set of grappling going on. Grappling is a generalized term for gripping and seizing in the process of contention. And so you have grappling in all kinds of martial arts, and you can separate grappling techniques from strikes and other forms of techniques in the martial arts. And so grappling is at the core of the martial arts I've studied. Judo, Aikido, and this sort of thing. I've had contact with and dealt with karate, which is more of a striking art, but I don't have reach, right? I'm lower to the ground. I've got decent shoulder muscles and stuff, but I don't have real long arms. So if it's going to be a striking contest, somebody that's taller, that has longer arm, that will take more momentum and stuff like that, could beat the crap out of me. So my best approach has always been to reduce the fight to on the ground as rapidly as possible, where I have an advantage. In any event, though, so I've studied grappling seriously. And we're all grappling with aspects of the big ugly at the moment as we go through this. And we're going to talk basically about grappling with karma. Everybody's going through it now. We're transiting the Piscean age into the age of Aquarius. And the Piscean age was all about groupthink, group behavior, collectivism, all of that, right? Piscean. The fishes all swim together in the same school. The birds all flock together and fly together, that kind of thing, right? Now we're into the Aquarian age, which is individuated knowledge. It's the age of knowledge. This means that everybody's going to be grappling with all of their karma and all of their shit, right? And the irritations in life. And we'll have to deal with them on an individual level here. Now, we're seeing the effects of this transition into the Aquarian age now, as we observe the maximum Piscean behavior of the criminal gangs having taken over the Democratic Party and enforcing out through infiltration of the institutions of education and the warping of minds, forcing out gender queering, language queering, politics queering, all of this stuff on the social order, such that we're at a point where if you're a true believer, a member of the Democrats, then you are still trying to maintain the Piscean energy of everybody swimming together, thinking alike, saying the same things, you know, everybody cancel all at once kind of a shit, right? So it's this collectivism. This is the peak of collectivism at this moment, with the attempt to enforce collective physical characteristics on people. Through the forcing of the vax mandates and so on. Now, notice how that's all fallen away. No one's saying shit about vaccine passports. Canada's got their app in the shitter. They're shit canning all of that stuff. We're seeing that throughout the entire world because it came up to a wall and then it collapsed, right? Because they didn't have the energy to force it on all of us. They would have had to have taken certain steps that would have brought out into the open the nature of the war, and they would have been assaultive. And they realized that by being assaultive, they would have lost a lot of their base, right, at that time. But look at how fierce they were in attempting to prevail with the you must get vaccinated mindset. And they pumped it out. They did mind warping on all of the Democrats and as many of the normies as they could get. But a sufficient amount of people grappling with their own karma said, no, fuckers, you know, you guys are easier to defeat than my own demons, so I'll take you on at the moment and take a rest from dealing with grappling with my own karma. And so such people as David Icke, Max Egan, Catherine Austin Fitz, all of these kind of people grappling with their own demons and their own progress and their own karma took time off to grapple with Mr. Global and the evil deeds being done by the World Economic Forum. And we fought them to a standstill so far, and now we're starting to push them back. We're getting up off the ground, and we're able to come on in and pound on them a while and so on. We're actually winning now. This has to do with a lot of different parameters, our winning, right? Numerically, we shall win. We can't be defeated here because they are so few and we are so many. Anyway, so we're seeing the effects of grappling emerge in, I don't know if you're particularly aware of it, or if you're particularly feeling it at the moment, but we're seeing the effects of it emerge in the larger media pictures of our reflected back of our social order. And so we see, for instance, the individuals grappling with their circumstances and so on. So we see like Tulsi Gabbard, right? And so she's defensively grappling, all right? So there's basically two different kinds of grappling. As I was saying, in my case, I always get people down to the ground on the in a fight as rapidly as possible. And so that's offensively grappling, right? That's what's known as an entering attack. That's an Arimi attack. Which means entering. So as soon as there's any kind of an opening, you enter in, you bring your Arimi attack in, and you enter in, and you get them down to the ground. And you basically force them to perfect their Akemi arts as they're thrown. So that's offensive grappling. There's also defensive grappling, where you're just walking along and someone assaults you and starts grappling on you. You have to be defensive and start responding to being grappled at, right? So being picked up and manhandled and that kind of thing. So we see Tulsi Gabbard, she's defensively grappling at the moment. She's left the Democratic Party. I haven't read the statement yet. I'll have to go and do it. I'm just relying on headlines at this point that's saying that she's left. And I've known that she's been grappling with these issues for some time because her karma had her placed at a very interesting position in history, in time in that sense, and in the power politics, right? And she is a moral individual, and so this is all grating on her, and she had to leave the captured, infiltrated, and altered Democratic Party. Democratic Party didn't used to be like this. Democratic Party has its history in some bad shit going all the way back to the Dixiecrats in the 40s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. So the Democrats as a national party, it is fair to say that a significant portion of their power base rose from the KKK. So very interesting that all the leftists identify with the Democrats who are in fact actual you know, their roots are the Ku Klux Klan and that level of racism. Tulsi has left the Democratic Party in a sense. She's formalizing the fact that the Democratic Party had moved away from her moral center. So she had a moral compass, and it was okay as it tracked along with the Democratic Party. Then the Democratic Party started veering way the fuck off, and she had to do something, right? So she had to acknowledge that it had left her. And I think that's what's going on here. She's not going to be the only one. There's going to be quite a few that will indeed publicly make a showing of leaving them, right? Of not being tainted by these people any longer, of saying some level of mea culpa, because you were a Democrat, you participated with them, and so on. So this is going to erode the power base of the deep state even further, because it will take with it some level, and it will upset some level of the support among the normies who are still blinded to the war that's emerging and what's going on. And so we're seeing public grappling with personal karma and public karma. Now, public karma is interesting because we share public karma on many different levels, common karma. The best, in my opinion, the best examination of karma as a functioning aspect of universe was done by these German adherents of the Jain religion. And so their work, I don't know that their work has ever been translated into English. It's very detailed and methodical. Not a particularly fascinating, well, it's fascinating and interesting to contemplate what you read, but it's not an easy read. As I say, it's in German, and complex German at that. So anyway, but the nature of karma is that we share karma at category levels, okay? And so we share karma with everybody that... Or through categories of commonality. And so we've got categories. And these might be your family. Right? You share karma with them because you're born into the family. Well, there's also an extension of that that goes all the way out to the nation. So you will share karma through the family, through your extended family, through your town, through your region. So if you were born in near Mount St. Helens up here before the blast in 1980, then you would share karma because you were associated through all of this just being born there. If you lived in the St. Helens region as it blew up, you would share a different level of karma. So karma can be thought of as having strength levels, right? And the strength levels are going to be dependent upon the category of the sharing of them, okay? And so... So it might be one thing to have the karma of being born near Mount St. Helens, and so but living in Paris at the time that it blew up, you would be able to talk to your friends with some level of knowledge, some confidence, and share that aspect of karma of having been born in this area that was now the center of all of the news, right? In such a unique event. But it's going to be something else entirely to be there as the event goes off, right? Your level of sharing of that karma is much greater enhanced than the mere happenstance. It's not happenstance, but than the nominal link, the notional link that comes from having simply been born there. So we share by categories, and the categories are indicative of the level of strength of the karmic sharing, right?
of the karma. Karma is plural for karmans. Karmans are observable. You can actually visually, if you go through certain exercises, especially relating to particular kinds of meditative practices, you can get to the point where you are able to see certain aspects of reality unfolding, and included in there are the karmans moving. Okay, so karmans are individual particles the word means action. Karman means action, or activity, dynamism, that sort of thing, right? Individual karmans clump to us as beings in reality. This happens to flocks of geese. This happens to schools of fishes. So all the schools, all the fish in a school share the same karma, and they share that karma because they're all within the same clump of these nearly invisible. You can't see them if you're looking for them. You have to be in a particular meditative state, have to do things to your body in order to get to that level of sensitivity, in order to be able to see these particles. These particles behave in a vague way. This description is necessarily misleading to some extent. They are like magnets, magnetically attracted to life. Okay, so stones, even though they may be conscious, even though they may at some level share animate matter in them because they've got old fossils and stuff, are not going to have a lot of karmans sticking around them. Karmans are attracted to activity. Karmans will allow your brain to be attracted to individuals in large group settings, even though you can't see them. You can actually perceive at some level the karma that you would see among people at an individual level, and it would attract your eye to these individual people. So, but you wouldn't be able to see the karman, but it is triggering something within your brain. And so the cloud of karmans, so if I'm in an airport, and say I'm up on the second story, all right? I'm in a mezzanine lobby kind of situation, looking down over the vastness of an airport, and like SeaTac or something, right? And it's filled with thousands of people at a holiday period of time. You will discover that if you're in those circumstances where there's a big crowd in front of you, that your eyes will naturally gravitate to certain individuals. And you may think, oh, it's the color they're wearing or something like that. Bullshit. It's the amount of karmans that are clumping around them. These people that you will be looking at have a bigger presence. They have a more defined manifestation in this reality that is calling a part of your mind that is reacting to it at a subconscious level, such that your conscious mind sees them, and you may even have eye contact with them. That happens frequently, karman to karman levels. But you won't perceive the karmans themselves in a big cloud around this person, but that's the way it is. So my point being that if I were in this airport, I could pick out individuals deliberately and precisely based on their individual karma that they may be expressing. But if I were just up there casually letting my eyes go soft, just doing soft eyes to just sort of scan the whole crowd, right? My eyes will naturally be attracted to those people that have more karma than those other people that are standing near them. So if we were in such a circumstance and David Icke was at one end of the airport and Max Egan was at the other, and they were working their way through these thousands of people, even the uninitiated would be able to stand up there next to me, and without me saying shit to them, they would be able to pick out these two individuals because their karmic levels are so large. Karma reacts to you and accrues to you based on what you do. So David Icke, Max Egan, they've done tons of stuff. Catherine Austin Fitz, they've done tons of stuff. So they got big clouds of karmans around them, right? And it's not bad. This is not a negative thing at all. This is an aspect of being alive. And you take karma with you. You take the knowledge of the karmans with you into the metempsychosis, the space between lives, and your great sleep, and you integrate all of that. And so Max Egan and David Icke, Catherine Austin Fitz, people like this will have greater lives with more effect happening in their next life than they did in this life. As a general rule, based on their working through, based on their working and grappling with the circumstances of their life now, which that activity of grappling with all of these negative circumstances brings you vast amounts of karma. Now, you know, it's not good if you're trying to hide from the bad guys, because they'll use that same ability to scan the crowd to say, oh, hey, that guy's he's causing us problems, right? So they'll come and get you, that kind of a thing. So, you know, it's an aspect of nature. And so in the nature of our world, the categories that we share karma with people have to do with things like where you're born, your natal circumstances, your living circumstances at the time, right? Your racial circumstances at any given point, you know, so all of these things. And, you know, it can be other physical characteristics too, such as, you know, being a bald guy, right? So we have all of these different kinds of categories that cut across the karma. And so your life may be headed to where you're going to be alive in Paris, which is a cool place, in 1980, when St. Helens goes off, but you were born in St. Helens area in the 1950s or 40s, and your life progressed this way, but at any given moment, you're sharing karma levels, we can analyze those with the other people. You would share karma with the people that you were living with at that time, that you were born with, that you were schooling with, etc., 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 right? And this forms our community relationships. So you share karma with your community, okay? And so I shared karma. All right, so now, karma is a useful tool from universe to instruct us on what we must learn and deal with in this life. So if you think of this life as a vast long period of education, not schooling is shit, okay? Education, you're here to learn. The way the universe prompts you to learn is by giving you adverse circumstances. So there, it is true to say, from a biological viewpoint, from a biospheric viewpoint, there is no growth without irritation. And so if you're an amoeba, there's nothing that's going to force an amoeba to go left or right other than an irritating circumstances to the opposite side. And humans are basically like that, right? So all those people that were sharing karma with people in New York through the pandemic here, all those people that were sharing the karma in New York of the pandemic, a lot of them reacted to that karma by getting the fuck out. Right? They said, I don't want this karma. I don't want to share these circumstances. I don't want to share this response. Because there's the thing. You can think of it this way. The karma is like a prod, a collection of a prod to say, go that way. Go examine that. Check this out. Okay? It works the reverse of like with an amoeba. So if we think of ourselves as a circle here, you're going to get a collection of karmans that will clump around aspects of your life, right? These karmans here are going to cluster around a specific area that universe wants you to examine. And your response to the karmans, you don't have to do anything. You can avoid it. You can just put it off to the next life and say, fuck it, I'm just here to to party all this life and screw all of the rest of that, right? You could do that. The problem is that you're going to still accumulate those karmas, and they're still going to be always irritating you in that particular aspect of your life that universe wants you to focus on. And so so it'll just keep piling up there, and you'll just have to keep putting it off and dealing with the putting it off, and then that becomes its own thing, its own karmic reaction. Okay, so in this case, universe piles the karmas on for you to do specific things. But in doing so, you have to understand that the karmas themselves are part of the reaction process. Okay, so we share trained responses. Okay, so as a martial artist, as a grappler, I will always default, because of the muscle memory and stuff, to particular kinds of movements. And so it's a energy saving device, right? I've got it burned into my body, so I don't have to stop and think, okay, now do I want to do Shihonagi, Yikio, Inkyo, whatever, right? So I don't have to stop and analyze it. I just react to it. My body just does it because it's been trained to respond this way. So my response is built into my body, and it's built into my body by the way I dealt with that karmic pressure of the hormones as a kid, forcing me into the martial arts and then gravitating towards the grappling arts. Okay, so basically, I'll always be that kind of a grappler. And I can be aware of this, that's a vulnerability. If my opponent knows this and can do things outside of my ability to respond well, then it does become a liability to me. On the other hand, that ability to natively default to a particular response is part of universe. Universe wants us to use those techniques because it provides it to us. So you can think of it this way, that universe wants you to accomplish certain things in this life, and it provides these karmas as flags, right? Just as it might provide a talent. Okay, so a talent is part of your karma. So if you can sing, which I can't, I'm just, coyotes would come and assault me if I tried to sing. But if you could sing, then you're going to have a particular kind of a life based on the ability of that talent. That talent comes to you this life from actions you took in the previous life, and the previous life before that, and so on and so on. So this is an accumulative kind of an effect. So it's not that you're born lucky or any of that. You've actually earned these skills, these talents, by the previous karmic responses that you've done and coming through it and being educated. Not schooled, educated. So this is different. There's no credentialism here. That's why I loved computer programming. You could have as many fucking PhDs as you wanted and show up and come up with an idea, and I could say that's batshit crazy, and I can prove it right now with this little bit of code. And that's it, and you're done with, right? No matter how many PhDs, credentials you've got, your idea didn't work, right? So this is evolution of the moment. That's why I just love the way that the karma works relative to humans, because it forces us, or doesn't force us, it impels, okay? It's not a compelling, it doesn't force you to, it doesn't compel you to do it, but it provides an incentive for you to do these particular things in its for its own purposes. We haven't got a fucking clue as to what universe is doing with us, why it's training us to do these things, right? Just know that, as goofy as it sounds, as strange as it sounds, you can conduct your life with the idea that universe will provide you opportunities to gel your skills and demonstrate your karmic response. And it all will make sense at some point. So did Max Egan or David Icke, at the time that they became awake, ever have a clue that they would be doing this shit here now under these circumstances? Sort of, probably yes, they did know at some level, but their conscious minds at the time that that occurred to them would not have thought about what they would be doing at this particular time in this particular now. So universe guides, and it provides. And so it guides us to where it wants us to go with the clumps of carmine. And it provides the carmine to allow us to have the tools, the resources, to accomplish the task should we decide that we're going to get with it, educate ourselves, and do just that. And the grappling of our individual karma, dealing with this aspect of it here, also affects all of us collectively. So, so your response to karmic pressure is inbuilt because of your previous responses in previous lives. You can change that, right? You can change. You can decide, I will no longer react that way. I'm going to do it this way. And from that point on, your life changed because you made a conscious decision and you're interacting with your particular life circumstances in this way, as we see Tulsi Gabbard has to do. So imagine the grappling she had to go through. Lifelong Democrat, presidential fucking candidate, big money behind her. Lifelong Democrat. Look at what she had to go through. This was not a single sleepless night, okay? This woman had to grapple with a giant fucking mountain of karma to stand up and say, I am this, I'm reacting this way to these circumstances. Because a lot of people will let the karma grind them down and not do anything about it, right? They won't face their karma and grapple with it. They'll be diverted, they'll do self-diversion, this kind of stuff. But people like Tulsi, Max Egan, David Icke, Catherine Austin Fitz, yada, 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 you can pick them out, you know, Chris Skye, all of these guys, right? You know, there's just too many to name. I'd be here all day saying, hey, look, you know, these people have big karma. They've demonstrated this. They've got off their ass. They're out here doing it. And so everybody reacted in the circumstances of the pandemic and stuff. It was a big kick to a level of reaction to our karma at a collective level. And it's taken a... taking us all on a journey that we would not have anticipated back in March of 2020. And because no one would have thought at that time that we were headed into a period of time that we're at now with the Dachenko trial, the Hunter Biden laptop, you know, they're probably going to arrest the motherfucker. It's going to lead to Biden and yada, 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 and all of this shit's going to unravel in the deep state, which we all share. Okay, so we're all grappling with sharing karma with the deep state, as has Tulsi. Okay, now Tulsi, let's just say that this is her, Tulsi Gabbard. She was really fucking close to the deep state. Right? Because the Democrats control the deep state at the moment. Yeah, there's rhinos in there too, the Uniparty, we can call them that, but it's notionally and nominally the Democratic Party. And so she was really, really close to the deep state and had to do some big, serious wrestling. But all of us have to, because we're all sharing the karma of the deep state, because we're all living with the fucker all the way around the planet. And so that's why everything at the moment, as we move into Aquarius, is so energized, right? Karma loves the dynamic energy, those the attractants. It loves contention. Now, I'll have to do it at some point. There's ways to reduce the karmic burden you carry in this life. And there's exercises you can do. I mean, like conscious exercises. So Tulsi Gabbard, look at what she's done, right? She decided that the democratic socialist, the deep state, had moved too far away from her towards warmongering and communism and stuff. And she had this big pile of karma up here that she had to wrestle with to come to this decision. And then she had to accept the further aspect of the karma that's going to pile on her by coming out and making a public break with the Democratic Party and the deep state and separate them. But in so doing, she has dealt with
this entire massive amount of accumulated karmans and has, to some extent, integrated, consolidated, and disposed of them as a driving force of her life. Now, the way it happens in reality is that it's on a curve, okay? And so her wrestling with this decision, her grappling, started off here as a kid. She becomes a Democrat. She keeps going with the Democratic Party, and it comes on up here, and she meets her maximum karma at this point, right? And here's where she separates herself. I'm going to get another pen. Here's where she separates herself from the party. And that's this incident right now. She's wrestling. She's grappled with them. She did a defensive grapple because this shit snuck up on her. She didn't know back here she would have to deal with this crap, all right? And then the follow-on, though, is that here she has the break, and so she will get a different level of karma coming out of that break as she goes forward in time. And this aspect of it here will gradually trail off such that maybe 20 years from now, it won't even be remembered that she had been a Democrat. It'll just trail off and, you know, dribble on out, right? And her new level of interaction with the karma will take off from here, and maybe it'll go way the hell up, right? And we just, there's no way of telling at this stage what her personal evolution is going to be as a result of this decision. But we do know that she won't be carrying this burden anymore, that she's dealt with that. She's grappled with it and subdued it as an aspect of her life relative to the deep state. Now, there's all different kinds of ways that this could play out, just continuing with her as an example. Because she's had to go through that massive amount of karma to get to this decision, she had to wrestle many, 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 many sleepless nights. You know, maybe she'd been dealing with it for a couple of years, maybe many years. And she comes to the decision finally. Well, this means, to a certain extent, that she's like battle-hardened herself, right, as a result of this. And so maybe now she will indeed have very major visibility, like in the airport with the Karmans, because maybe now she'll start accumulating a lot of karma and Karmans as a spokesperson, as an enemy of the deep state, as an educator pointing out what the deep state is. Who knows, right? We just don't know how that will play out. Fascinating to watch. But we're all in here with her sharing this deep state karma at this stage. We're all in here wrestling and grappling with these aspects of the big ugly. I don't like the fact that my nation had been captured by all these fucking Khazarians since the 1800s and has been involved in all these shit-ass wars that have personally destroyed many people in my family. So my family, my extended family, blood family, right, lost 19 males to Vietnam. We had 19 men in our family get killed in Vietnam by the war. So I don't like this shit, right? So I don't like that aspect of these United States. But these United States has been occupied. And so I don't take it as my particular karma that I'm a warmonger. Far from it. I'm a very peaceful, organized, harmonizing Aikidoist, right? I'm in an Aikido ka. And so I want harmony. I don't want warfare. I want to be strong and prepared for warfare. And I love to fight, but it's not my goal that we should be engaged in war. But it irritates me that our country here had been infiltrated by all these warmongers. Very much an issue for Tulsi, I imagine, because she's been through the military. And it is true that when you are at your deepest level in any aspect of things and you look up, that's when you're going to have your clearest vision of where you've come from. And so being born into the military, you know, I could, anytime I looked up to see the military as an organization and placed historically around me, I could see easily the amount of ugliness and stupidity that was inherent in the way in which that was being run, and the fact that it was being run in a negative fashion for the planet by these warmongers, the central banking cabal that wants to promote mass human slavery and harvest, right? The Klaus Schwab individuals. So this is the grappling we're all dealing with now. We've got Tulsi as our one of our role models. We've got Max Egan, you know, David Icke, Catherine Austin Fitz, and so on. And we are all starting to react to the buildup of the Karmans in the particular levels that we're sharing relative to the categories that we're in. Karma is really interesting. It's factual. It's a factual description of our reality, not a religious metaphor or analog. Okay. It's a factual description of our reality and how universe works, relating to the ether, actually. Anyway, though, so got to go. I have to deal with my karma, which is messy at the moment because I got to clean up and get everything set up here. Just before I forget. Okay, so if karma is keeping you awake at night, go to Pure Sleep and get the Pure Sleep Generation 2 stuff here. You can see the reduction in volume. The first go-round was pretty good, but it derived from my hand mixing. So here it's much more efficiently produced. But it doesn't have melatonin, so you don't end up with a melatonin hangover, right? And it has elements in it components in it to boost your body for the next day. Our bodies only repair themselves at night while we're asleep. When we're out doing shit, it's all it can do to just triage, you know, keep the inflammation down to a minimum or apply it where it needs to so you don't further injure that joint, that kind of thing. But it doesn't repair any of it until nighttime, and that's why the Pure Sleep, that's why I devised it so that I could rebuild my body. I was down to 128 pounds when I died from the colon cancer, and now I'm not 128 pounds anymore. I'm feeling pretty good. Still use it, I think, what, no? So 3 years, 4 years on now? 3 years, almost four. Anyway, guys, so we're into our grappling now, and we're all going to have to grapple defensively because shit's going to be popping up everywhere. But the good news is that as we grapple, even defensively, we eliminate a lot of and deal with a lot of the stuff that universe is throwing at us, and we can say, okay, that's done. Now I can go on. So that's it. Stay woo, and watch out for people that are grappling all around you. It's going to be quite messy for a while.